Matthew chapter 15 is one of the three scriptures I want to read to you today about the strange behavior of the helper of those with troubled hearts in this age. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a Canaanitish woman came out from those borders and cried, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. John chapter 11. Lazarus is sick, and in verse 3 it says, The sisters therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he abode at that time 2 days in the place where he was. Look at verse 15. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Now back to chapter 6. Verse 16, And when evening came, his disciples went down unto the sea, and they entered into a boat, and were going over the sea unto Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come unto them. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the abundance of light that thou dost give us in thy word. Woe unto us if we behold not that which the light of thy word illumines. Has not thy Son said, The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be evil, how great is the darkness. We thank you, Father, for the light that you have imparted to us. Let it shine, and let us understand in the midst of that light. Thou hast told us, In thy light shall we see light. So help us this day, our God, to understand that apparent strange behavior of thyself and thy Son. For those who are here, our God, thou dost know the various walks of life from which they come. Thou dost know the heart of each one this morning. Some are sad, some are joyful. Let us know the various conditions here, and knowing them, you are able to meet the need of each heart. Grant that. Prepare the hearts to receive the word, and empower lips to speak the word, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as thou hast promised. We look to thee for good. Bless us this hour, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The first week, when I told you about Jesus, the helper of those with troubled hearts, there was nothing but a smile on your face for this reason. When Jesus, in the days of his flesh, was called upon to help, he did. Here is this father with a son troubled by a demon, and Jesus helped him. Here is this woman with a daughter that is grievously vexed by a demon, Jesus helped. Here is Cleopas, sad of heart. Here is Thomas, filled with doubt. And in every instance, Jesus came and personally helped those with troubled hearts. But last week, I made it a little more difficult for you this way. I read to you in Luke chapter 22 that the Savior said, When I was with you, and I provided for you miraculously, did you lack anything? And they said, Nothing. He said, but now, he said, my ways of working are going to be changed. My methods are going to be different. And I showed you how it did become a little more difficult. When he said that, he did not immediately put into effect the removal of all that was miraculous. But the message today is the strange behavior of the helper of those with troubled hearts in this age. Because how many of you have ever had Jesus to come and personally heal your child when the child was sick? How many of you have personally had Jesus to come and show you the print of the nails in his hands and feet and side? Oh. Then you are like some who experience temporarily the silence of the Lord, the stillness of the Lord, and the distance of the Lord in this age. Think now. A woman comes, her heart filled with sorrow, and she says to the Lord Jesus, "Help me." And the Lord Jesus does not answer her one word. What do you think of that? The silence of our Lord. And Mary and Martha send an urgent request. "He whom thou lovest is sick." And Jesus remained where he was 2 days. The stillness of the Lord. The Savior sends the disciples to the other side of the sea, and it's dark, and they are in the midst of the sea, and it says, Jesus had not yet come unto them. The distance of the Lord. So this is the strange behavior of the helper of those with troubled hearts in this age, in that he is silent, and you'll never hear him speak. He is still, and you will never see him act. And he is distant, and he will never be present with you. You say, "I don't believe it." Tell me, have you ever heard his voice audibly spoken in your ear? Of course you have. Have you ever seen him miraculously raise any friend of yours from the dead? You say, "No." Have you ever had Jesus to walk with you for 7 miles on the road to Emmaus? You say, "No." Then your experience is that the Lord is silent and still and distant. You understand that. You say, "I must understand." Now, at first, it was never like that. Whenever someone asked a question, the Lord Jesus answered that question. Whenever someone requested the Lord Jesus to do something, he did it. And whenever people were in need, the Lord Jesus presented himself with them. You see. He said, "That's the way I did it at first." He said, "But now," he said, "things are going to be different." And transitionally, he partially carried out what he said in Luke 22. "But now, in my experience of over 40 years, I find that what he said in Luke 22 is completely true now. No more miraculous, but as I told you last week, that Christ is going to work this way. He's going to work through the scriptures, and he's going to work through people, and he's going to work through material means." You say, "How was that?" The Lord Jesus brought to our attention in Luke 16 how he is going to work today. The rich man in hell is pleading with Father Abraham to do something miraculous. And Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." They have Moses and the prophets. That's the word of God. And so the Savior said, "Now, that now, you must use the word of God. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced." So the Savior says, "Now I'm going to speak through the scriptures." Here is one who wants Christ to do something. "Lord, I'm tempted. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." The Lord says, "Go and get married to avoid fornication, that every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband." And so you work things out with an helpmeet that God sends to you. And that helpmeet is to be yours until you die. And at the same time, the Savior said, when I sent you forth without any visible means of support? Did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said, now take money, take a purse, take every material thing you can. And so the Lord now says, I'm going to give you daily bread. Use it intelligently. You see, the Lord acts strangely even in the midst of miracles. If he feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, what are a few fragments? The Lord said, gather up all the fragments, that nothing be lost. You understand? And so in times of abundance, you squander it. And the Lord, in times of abundance, said, gather up the fragments. And so he expects you to intelligently use material things. So material things and people and the scriptures. You understand that? For the avoidance of fornication, you need people. You need a woman. For sadness of heart, a Jonathan needs a David. You need people. That's the way that Christ is working today. And you say, I want answers. And God says, you have Moses and the prophets. Now you have the entire revelation. You have the complete word of God. You say, I want you to send me bread and flesh by the ravens. The Lord says, I've given you daily bread. Work with your hands and not only provide for your own household, but have an abundance to give to others as well. You say, that is so pedestrian. Who wants to work to earn his bread? God says, that's the way I want it done now. Who wants to have people to give comfort and deliverance from temptation? God says, that's the way I want to do it now. Who wants to have to read the Bible to get answers? The Lord says, that's the way I want to do it now. And it's the only way you're going to get answers and get deliverance from temptation and have all of your requests met. Your needs will be met, as the Savior said, in the past. When I did it this way, did you lack anything? They said nothing. He said, but now. And if you won't do it his way now, it shall not be done. And so if you say, oh God, I want you to miraculously send me my daily bread, or I will not believe in you. Well, you will cease being a believer. And at the same time, if you say, I have a problem, and I'm asking you, and unless you audibly give me the answer, I'm not going to believe in you anymore. So you will stop believing in the Lord anymore. You understand? I told you last week, I labored the point. The Savior said, in the past it was this way, but now it's going to be this way. And you want to go back to the now of the past. I can well understand. How good if I forgot to take bread. The Savior could say, don't worry about bread. I can feed 5,000. I can feed 4,000. If there is a storm on the sea, I don't have to worry. I see the Savior coming to me, walking upon the waves of the sea. That's fine. But the Savior says, no more. You understand? No more. Now, he uses all the material things of life, and he says, these are the means of providing everything you need. You say, then, today, there is the silence of God, and the stillness of God, and the distance of God. I say it is apparent, because there is no such thing as the silence of God, and the stillness of God, and the distance of God. I will tell you why. It says, God, who at 100 times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. Did you hear that? God has spoken in his Son. You say, I want answers. Then you get them through what God said in his Son. There is no silence of God. It's simply that he is speaking now through the inspired scriptures from which I read you this morning. There is no silence of God. And God speaks as much to us today as he spoke to those on the road to Emmaus and to Thomas. He speaks as much today, and he wants to send you a letter rather than personally speak in your ear. Who are you to object to that? You say, well, if that's the way he wants to do it, that's the way he insists on doing it. So do not tell me anything about the silence of God and his Son today. God has spoken more later. You say, but the stillness of God, I tell you, you are wrong. God is constantly
at work.
God is never still. It is simply apparent that God is still. But God is not still. Have you ever heard this verse of Scripture? For we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good. To them who are the called according to His purpose, you say yes, all things work together for good. Who do you think is working all things together for good? You think faith is? You think chance is working things together for good? You say, no, there must be something behind it all. Of course something is behind it all. Before, you could visibly see the Lord Jesus Christ working things together for good. But God is still working things together for good, but in a way that's invisible. But do not tell me that God is still and that God is not working today. You say, well, what about the presence of the Lord? Why, one of the last things the Savior told His disciples before He went back to heaven was this. He said, now I'm going back to my Father. He said, but I'm going to send you another Comforter. It says He's going to be with you, He's going to be in you, and it's going to be forever. You say, He's going to be with me and in me forever. Yes. Well, if God is so close that He's with you and in you, is there any distance from God? You say, well, if He's with me and if He's in me, there can't be any distance of God. Why, of course not. Then, all of this silence that you're talking about, and all of this stillness that you're talking about, and all of this distance that you're talking about, is only apparent, and it's because you are unaware of how Christ is working today. You lack discernment. You lack the ability to interpret and to perceive all of these things that are going on, and because you are unaware of them, then you say they do not exist. God is silent. God speaks. God is still. God is working. God is distant. God is present. And this is the strange behavior of the way that Jesus Christ is working in the hearts of troubled people today. It's strange, and yet, for those who are in intimate communion with Him, why, He speaks ever so loudly, and He works ever so visibly, and His presence is ever so real. And yet some of you today are doubting, if God would only rend the heavens and speak to me, I see, then God is silent. If God would only do something for me, I see, then God is still. He's passive when it comes to your needs. If God would only be with me and comfort my heart, I see, then God is in some distant place. He has forsaken you. You say, I cannot say that. Then all that I've told you this morning is perceived and embraced and enjoyed entirely by faith. You understand? It says in Hebrews 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. But you say, faith, yes, not sight, faith. And without that faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. And so tell me, if God makes a promise, and He fulfills that promise so that you can hear it, and see it, and feel it, has God fulfilled His promise? You say, yes. Well, what if God makes a promise, and He fulfills it invisibly, but still fulfills it? Has He fulfilled it? You say, yes, but I like it better when I can see it and feel it and hear it. Well, of course you do. But the Savior has said, when I did it the first way, did it work out all right? Yes, we lack nothing. He said, now I'm going to do it this way. Do you like it? But it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. He's going to do it this way. And you have to adjust to the way that Christ is working today. He said, but now. So, Christ is speaking. And God is speaking. Christ is working, and God is working. And Christ is near, and God is near. But it is invisible, and it is inaudible, and it is only perceived by faith to those who have tender consciences, who have discernment, who have intimate communion with the Lord. And the rest of you will say, God speaks no more. God works no more. God does not draw near anymore. I say it is your lack of discernment and perception, because God is as audible and God is as active and God is as present today as he was then, even more. Because the Lord Jesus said, he's been with you and shall be in you. Tell me, have you ever heard the scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory? And you say, yes. Well, if Christ is in you, is he distant? You say, if he's in me, he can't be distant. No. And if God is working all things together for good, has he stopped working? You say, no, he's still at work. And if God has spoken in his Son, is he silent? You say, he just told me that he's spoken. Well then, there is no silence, no stillness, no distance of God. All these things are apparent because your lack of faith and your lack of perception and your lack of discernment. But everything is as true today as when Christ was on earth in the days of his flesh, and we must lay hold on this. But he is doing it differently. And I heard again and again one of the scriptures I was going to use this morning. So you listen to how God speaks. It says, he speaks in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night uttereth knowledge. Did you hear that? It says, day unto day uttereth speech. And so you hear with your eyes. You understand? You look at God's creation, and you hear with your eyes, as it says in Romans chapter 1. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly perceived, even his eternal power and Godhead. You say, I can't see, I can't perceive. Then you lack discernment, and you must cry, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things in thy creation, at times in the word, but in thy creation. And when you do, then as the psalmist said, the heavens declare, day unto day utter its speech. You say, well, God is still speaking. Of course he is. He's speaking through creation. His eternal power in Godhead, all the natural attributes of God are clearly perceived through the creation round about it. And if you take it by faith, you say, God brought all this into existence. And it says in Colossians 1, all things were created through him, and in him all things consist. This whole universe is working properly as it should, because it's consisting and it's being held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you say, well, God still speaks. Yes, it's a little harder to hear his voice because you have to apply your heart. But at the same time, God is speaking. All right. I tell you that he has spoken through the scriptures. Do you realize that he has told us far more than he told any man when he was on earth in the days of his flesh? Here is something that happened to Lazarus. He told Mary and Martha about that. Here is a man born blind. He told the disciples about that. Here is one whose child is a demoniac. He explained about prayer and fasting being necessary to cast out that demon. He explained this and that to one person or another. You have every explanation that Jesus Christ ever gave to any man recorded for you. Do you understand that? And so if you want to know about a person being born blind, you say, I want an answer to that. Christ has given you the answer to that in John chapter 9. You say, I want to know about the death of people that I love. Christ has told you about that in John chapter 11. You say, well, I want to know about all my children that are troubled by the devil. Why, Christ has told you about that in Matthew chapter 15. Do you not understand that God spoke in the past? And God in these last days has spoken unto us in his Son, and he has recorded all his words, and he is holding you accountable for believing those words. Here is a man who says, I do not believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, if I speak to you and receive not my words, he said, I'm not going to do anything about it now. He said, but I tell you this, in the coming day, the words that I spoke unto you, they shall judge you. And so the way of salvation, the way of heaven, the way to hell, all of these things are explained in the Word. God has spoken, but you have to have discernment. You have to have a familiarity with the Word of God, and you have to know what portion is applicable to you. Listen to this. It says in Romans chapter 4 that God justified Abraham by faith. It says now. Was it spoken unto Abraham alone that he was justified by faith? Or is it written for our sake also? For our sake also. Do you understand? It wasn't just written for Abraham. For our sake it's written. It says in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And so you have to become familiar with the Word of God. And you're ignorant, relatively, of the Word of God. You know more about the pop singers. You know more about television. You know about all the things of the world and the flesh and the devil than you do about the Word of God. And you wonder why you're going through the world. Oh, God, if I only had the answers. You have the answers in this book. And you turn and you search them out. The Bereans search the Scriptures daily, for the things were so. But the psalmist says, thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. When Satan came to tempt Christ, Christ said to Satan, it is written. Satan tempted him again. He said, it is written. Satan tempted him again. He said, it is written. Now, when Satan comes to tempt you, does God speak to you and tell you how to escape those temptations? You say, no. Why, he's already spoken, and Christ had committed them to memory. They were hidden in his heart. God has spoken. He expects you to read the letter he has sent you, to put it in your heart and to remember those things, just as you who are trying to graduate, remember the answers to questions, so that when the question comes, you can write down the correct answer. So that when the temptation comes, you are able to pass that temptation successfully by the means that God has given. To say, well, he's spoken through the Scriptures? Yes. So he's spoken in a written way in the Bible. He's spoken in a visible way in creation. And he has spoken in a spiritual way in your heart. Listen to this verse and laugh when I give it to you. Because we are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God is crying. Do you understand? He's not whispering in a still, small voice, but he's crying by the Spirit of God in your heart, Abba, Father. You say, well, God isn't silent. He's crying out within you. But if your conscience is seared, if your discernment is dulled by this world and environment in which you live, you can't hear God though he's shouting, though an earthquake is occurring. You are unaware of it. But God is crying within. He has written a message without, and creation is declaring, speaking day by day. And so do not tell me that God is silent. And you tell me that something is strange, the way that Christ helps troubled hearts today. Strange when he gives you the entire revelation, all the answers in the book, and you have to turn to them and read them. You say, no, it's not your fault, Savior. It is my dullness of hearing. It is my lack of searching the Scriptures as the Berean. Then God is not silent. But we are remiss in listening to God through his word. You understand? Well, is God still? Has God ceased working today? Listen to this. So then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Did you hear that? It is God who worketh in you. God is at work? He says, it says he's at work in me. What do you think he's trying to do day by day? He's trying to do this morning. He's trying to take that stubborn will of yours, that dull perception of yours. He's working in you to will and to work his good pleasure. He's at work in you right now. Why do you think the Bible says, quench not the Spirit? Why do you think the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit? Because the Spirit is working in you, and you grieve the Spirit, and you quench the Spirit, and you say, oh, God isn't at work today. Yes, he's at work today in you. He's trying to get you to do his will. He's trying to inform you of his will. And it's impossible for a man not to know the will of God. And impossible for a man not to do correctly the will of God if he will. If he will. If any man will do God's will, he shall know. This is the promise of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about the presence of God? Listen to this verse. The Lord Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Has the end of the age come yet? You say no. Jesus said he's with you until the end of the earth. Is this distance? You say, He's with me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has sent the Spirit of God to dwell in our hearts. You say, then God is within me. Why, of course. Listen to this verse. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for Himself hath said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Is there any distance of God? You said, He's promised He will never leave me, nor forsake me. Well then, is there any distance? You say, He's near. He's within. He is at work. He is speaking. Yes, it's all like this, and I'll never forget it. There was a dear cousin of mine, going on 90 years of age, and I used to go to see her 2 or 3 times a year, and just before she died, I went to visit her, and I was talking to her, relating things of the past, and I mentioned a relative, and this dear cousin said to me, she said, oh, are you kin to that person? Do you know that Milton Mills used to come to see me 2 or 3 times in a year? He said, but now he hasn't been to see me in so long time. Milton used to come to see me, but he doesn't come anymore. And I said, cousin, this is Milton. She said, so it is. And so God speaks, and God works, and God is with us. And by His grace, may you perceive it and say, so He is. Strange? No. Easily perceive those with infinite discerning hearts. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, forgive us for being so deaf when it comes to hearing Thy voice today, so blind when it comes to seeing Thy working today, and so oblivious to Thy presence beside us and within us today. Our Father, the disciples knew in the days of Christ's flesh those things to be true. Let us know today. And forgive us, Father, and cleanse us. And give us sensitive consciences. And give us an awareness of Thy presence. And let us know the answers according to the Scripture. And let Thy working within us and Thy Spirit crying, Abba, Father, cause us to say, God is my Father and Christ is my Savior. And let us never feel alone because Thy Son has promised, I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. We thank You for Your unchangeable promises, Your ways of acting and behaving are different, our Lord, but they're always faithful and true. Give us by Thy grace today faith and discernment to understand. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.